Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We are back on the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. A reminder that the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis is coming up next from 9 to 11. Zach Gelb of the Infinity Sports Network coming up at 9:20 today. Also, you guys like winning, right? How does Vegas sound? College basketball championships. If it's a slam dunk in Vegas, national contest, winning is easy. Just download the free Odyssey app today, log in and listen to The Fan or any participating Odyssey station. Listen each day for a minimum of 1 hour for your daily entry. Lots of prizes, big prizes, travel and accommodations for four to Las Vegas, and 5K for each person to fund the ultimate viewing experience for the first two rounds of the college basketball championships. Download the Odyssey app and listen to The Fan today. Make sure to check that out. Meanwhile, we are being joined by the legendary Kyle Malzahn, sports anchor reporter for WFRV-TV in Green Bay. You can find him on social media at Kyle Malzahn. Kyle, it is great to have you back on the show. How are you doing, my friend?
Andy, thanks for having me on yet again, and I hope you're well, my friend.
I hope you are well as well, and it is great to be chatting with you. I want to start with the conversation that we opened the show with today, which has been kind of the buzz around the Packers sphere, and that is that Rich Bisaccia not only returning in 2025, but also getting an extension into 2026. Your thoughts on the return of Bisaccia? I know you obviously are in the locker room and kind of hear some of the buzz. What were your immediate reactions when you found out that Bisaccia was not only returning, but received an extension for the season?
Yeah, well, heading into this offseason, I thought there was a good chance that Bisaccia would be on the hot seat.
Yeah.
But, of course, Matt LaFleur, you know, is kind of loyal to his guys, probably to a fault. But I just go back to this, Andy. It's like, on the outside looking in, I don't know one thing that Rich Bisaccia has done to improve a relatively poor-performing special teams unit. I get, like you said, like, I'm in there. Like, I hear players. They love Rich. There's that, like, that is a fact. They love Rich Bisaccia as a human being, as a head coach, or as a assistant coach for this team. It sounds like he's that great veteran leader that everybody says he is, but that unit really has nothing to show for. And I know we aren't privy to the, you know, the behind the scenes conversations and what all goes into it and, you know, things that happen behind doors, but at some point, and I get it, like, players got to make plays. That is for sure. But at some point, if this team and that unit isn't being held accountable, I don't know. Like, like the missed tackles, missing, you know, kicks, committing penalties, all of it, that kind of sometimes comes back to technique. And the leader of that unit, I think, just needs to be held accountable and get a new voice in here. But obviously, like I said, Matt LaFleur just too loyal to his guys. He's staying. I'll be interested to hear from Matt LaFleur. Probably the next time we will is at the GM meetings. And to see about that game manager, game management coordinator title that he has, if that was new or if that was old. But nonetheless, Rich staying, players love him. It's been an underwhelming tenure for a guy who's getting paid a lot of money as a special teams coordinator.
Yeah, all the things that we certainly discussed too in segment one, and it's really hard to sort of parse out the fact that I do think he is a value add to this organization in some capacity, but when the main title is special teams and the special teams is bad to really bad and hasn't really shown any signs of improvement, it's just sort of a hard thing to, again, parse out and figure out, how do we sort of, you know, reward this. Maybe you keep him on as an assistant coach, but bring in a new coordinator. But is he going to be okay with that? He probably wants to remain the special teams coordinator. It's just a really weird situation. Did you ever get a feel? I know you mentioned it at the onset here, Kyle. We're being joined by Kyle Malzahn, sports anchor and reporter for WFRV-TV in Green Bay. Did you ever get the feel that Bisaccia was actually on the hot seat? Because to me, it never really felt that way. In fact, I bet if we were to ask Matt LaFleur, he would probably be a little bit like almost, I bet he would almost be bewildered of why it was a question in the first place. But I'd be curious your thoughts on that.
Yeah, no, nothing like that jumped out. For me, I'm just watching the literal games and seeing the special teams unit continuously shoot themselves in the foot. So for me, I thought, well, this is an interesting thing that they're going into this offseason for. Is Rich Bisaccia going to be on the hot seat? But we saw Matt LaFleur probably hang on to Joe Barry one year too long. So hanging on to Rich probably wasn't as big as a shock to me. But the extension, and all of a sudden now Spoon's report comes out of the game managing coordinator or whatever it was. That's an interesting wrinkle too, because if I go back and like think, I'm like, watching on road games, on home games, I'm there. Road games, I'm seeing all these cutaway shots from the broadcast. And more times than not, if I remember right, I feel like Bisaccia was super close to Matt LaFleur in a lot of those situations where they're doing cutaway shots. So I just wonder if that wasn't an added role, or if it was. I mean, we'll find out at some point. Probably the next time we talk to Matt LaFleur would be at the GM meetings.
Here's the thing. If he was already, what happened in Chicago, where you have that huge game management snafu at the end of the game, specifically when it comes to the fact that was not knowing if Brandon McManus was going to be good to go from that distance, the fact that if there is supposed to be that communication there with a game management coordinator, and the game management coordinator hasn't had that conversation with you, or you didn't remember, whatever the case may be, of you don't know how long McManus can kick from so that you can make an educated decision as to whether or not you should call a timeout. I'm not sure what's more damning there, if he was in that role or not in that role. If he wasn't, I guess maybe it makes sense of like they're trying to bridge that gap and make it so that those situations don't happen. But like you said, he has been, you know, next to LaFleur a lot, and you wonder like how much say he's had in some of those situations. And if it was certainly not good enough. The game management was really poor overall from the organization in 2024.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, this is the youngest team in the NFL. They need their head coach to be on his P's and Q's heading into year seven at this point.
Not that this is the be-all, end-all, but per PFF's grades, we talked about in the opening segment, Green Bay 32nd in special teams of all 32 teams. The two teams that are in the Super Bowl, Philly 15th overall and Kansas City 5th overall. So at least from a Philly standpoint, it's not that, again, you need this unbelievable, astounding special teams. The Bengals were first overall non-playoff team. Patriots were second non-playoff team. Browns were third, one of the worst teams in football. So it's not like a great special teams gets you there, right? But it certainly helps. And the Chiefs, again, 5, the Eagles, 15. It certainly feels like something they're going to have to improve moving forward.
Absolutely. I mean, look at the Super Bowl 31 team and who they had the MVP of that game. And like, if the Packers can just be okay, like, if that's the standard of just being okay, I think they're in a good spot.
All right, Kyle Malzahn, WFRV TV in Green Bay, sports anchor and reporter. You can find him on Twitter at Kyle Malzahn. I do want to talk a little bit about these championship games and kind of start looking ahead to the Super Bowl. First of all, overarching thoughts from the weekend and kind of the takeaways from what you saw on Sunday.
Yeah, I just really wanted to see a Bills Commanders Super Bowl. I think a lot of America wanted to see that. Look, Jaden Daniels was great. One of the best rookie seasons I think we have ever seen. In the NFC Championship game, it just came down to too many mistakes by Washington, and the Eagles have a guy named Saquon Barkley, too, who's pretty good. As far as the AFC Championship game, I just feel for Josh Allen. I think he is a stud, and he's been so good for so long, and he just always runs into Patrick Mahomes, and they always deliver a banger of a game. Like, it is so fun watching those two teams play football. Like, I was on air the other day and I was talking to my main anchor and he's like, that's the Super Bowl. And I'm like, you know what? Like, yeah, it probably is. Like, that's probably the best game we'll have. Hopefully the Super Bowl lives up to the hype, but Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes is always a treat. I think Josh Allen, at some point, he's got to get there. But Patrick Mahomes, man, he's a special talent and just gets it done.
It's a great reminder. And I've talked about this a little bit in the past couple weeks. Of just how hard it is to win in this league. Even if you get one of the really great quarterbacks in a Josh Allen, you still might just run into Patrick Mahomes every single time. Even if you put together a team like San Francisco did, where you know they get this quarterback late in the draft that plays really well on a super cheap contract, and you've got the Trent Williams, the Debo Samuels, the Christian McCaffreys, we can go on and on. Just this super star-studded team with this unbelievable play caller in Kyle Shanahan, you might just run into Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl and not be able to win it. Like, it is so difficult to win at the highest of levels with regardless, because there are some unbelievable players and unbelievable teams. And certainly KC is a unbelievable roadblock right now, just like the Patriots were, for so long because of a great quarterback play. And right now, Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs is just seemingly unstoppable. And he is on a pretty legendary run. And if he gets a three-peat, I mean, he's basically already a guaranteed Hall of Famer. That's not even a hot take. He might, like Brady, put together basically two Hall of Fame careers if he continues on this trajectory.
Yeah, and I mean, and he's still young too. Like, he's gonna get in the GOAT conversation, and no, he probably already is, but then you start, if he wins three in a row, you start getting into the greatest of all time conversation. And it's, I mean, winning six or seven is gonna be tough, but if there's another quarterback to do it, it's probably gonna be Patrick Mahomes.
I bring this up from time to time. Again, we're being joined by Kyle Malzahn, WFRV-TV in Green Bay. I want you to take a guess on this. This is not obviously meant to put you on the spot. It's just I always love looking at this. Take a guess at what Patrick Mahomes' stat line was in his first year as a starter, just like the general yards, touchdowns, interceptions.
Oh, God. 2,800 yards. 17 touchdowns and 9 interceptions.
Okay, this was Patrick Mahomes' first year as a starter, age 23 in 2018. Remember, in 2017, he had played one game as a rookie, and then in 2018, he became a starter. This was his stat line as a first-year starter in the NFL. 383 completions on 580 attempts, 66% completion percentage, 5,097 yards, 50 touchdowns, 50 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. We forget.
So it blew me right out of the water. I didn't realize he was that good.
I know. Wow. I went back crazy. And I was just looking at this. This is probably, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago. I was just looking at this and I was literally stunned. I'm like, I knew he was unbelievable, like right out the gate. But I did not recognize 5,000 plus yards, 50 touchdowns, 12 picks as a first-year starter in the NFL. He's unbelievable. And again, it just goes to show you how hard it's even felt like the last couple of years. At times, it's almost been on cruise control. And it still, whenever they need a big play or they need a big moment, it just they're going to come up with it. It's really, really impressive to watch. And we talked about it yesterday. Sometimes it's hard to cheer on the juggernaut, but he's very, very talented. I do want to ask you one aspect of this game that I haven't had the opportunity to talk about yet, and I want to talk about it. So I want your thoughts on this first. Where are you at with the tush push? Where are we at with this thing? Is this just going to be how football is moving forward, or do we need to nuke this thing into the sun?
I hate it. I hate it, and everybody's probably like, well, just stop it, and you won't have an issue. And the Eagles are so darn good at it that it makes you hate it because they do it so much, and it works every single time nearly. And then when another team tries to stop it, like we saw this past weekend, they all of a sudden the refs say if they keep on doing this, they're going to be awarded a score. It's so bad for football, in my opinion. It's so bad for viewership, but it's so good because the Eagles make it work every single time. So I don't know what the right answer is, but as a fan, I hate it. The fan, I hate it. If I'm a part of the team, whether that's a coach or player, I love it. I love it.
It's an interesting dynamic. And I think to your point too, as America was rooting for the Commanders and Bills this past week, having the Eagles run it successfully every single time and the Bills not being able to get out of their own way, now, regardless of where the spot may have been at times and things like that. But the Bills, when you're cheering for the Bills and they can't get it, it's like, oh my God. I think we saw enough tush pushes to last us a lifetime this past week. And the ones I feel like we wanted to go well did not go well. The ones that we wanted to fail did not fail. And it's just, I'm more worried that they're going to change the rule and bring in the dynamic tush push in 2025. But I don't know what you do. I don't know what the rule changes. Maybe just, again, not being able to push somebody from behind or whatever. But It's a not super aesthetically pleasing play. It's just a big rugby scrum. I don't necessarily gain a ton out of it as a viewer, but it's a really tough rule to change because it's, I mean, for the most part, within the spirit of the game, and you don't really want to change those things all that much. But yeah, I think I'm ready to be done with it. I don't know what the change is, but find a way out of it if you're me, I guess. All right, Cal Melzon. Again, WFRV-TV in Green Bay, sports anchor reporter at Cal Melzon on Twitter. Before we get you out of here, couple really quick things. I want to start with the Packers offseason. You put your Goody hat on for a second. I love asking everyone kind of what direction they'd like to see this team go in. What are Green Bay's biggest needs, and who would you like to see the Packers bring in this offseason?
Yeah, they got to get some corn depth. How do they address this Jair Alexander situation? I asked Goody straight up at the end of the year, is there a disconnect between the front office and Jair? And he played dumb, of course. He said, no, there's not. But we will find that answer out pretty quick here in the off season. It sounds like they want him back, but that could be a poker face talking to us in the media, because you're probably not going to get anything. So they need corner depth. They probably need a wide receiver, whether that's wide receiver one or more depth, however you want to take it. I think they should go get a guy like DK Metcalf. I think they should go get a guy for Jordan Love to take that next step as a starting quarterback. That's a whole different conversation, but a wide receiver depth with Watson out. And then you're probably looking at some O-line depth as well. What do they do with Josh Myers? Where do they think that Jordan Morgan can play long-term? So they got some question marks, but nothing too relatively concerning up until this point. You just got to make sure that you hit on whether that's the draft or trade headed into this offseason.
Let me ask you this. When you asked him that question, when you asked him about the disconnect, how good was Brian Gutekunst's poker face? As he was responding to you, did you believe him? Or did you feel like you couldn't get a read on him? Or did you feel like he was full of crap and that there was clearly a disconnect?
No, I saw how the Aaron Rodgers stuff played out. So, he played a good poker face, I think. I think there's more to the story, but who knows? Maybe they're being legit and there is no disconnect. Just kind of a weird inkling in how the season ended between those two.
Yeah, the plan right now is I'm going to try to do a deep dive on DK Metcalf and a potential trade for the Packers on tomorrow's Pack-A-Day podcast. So if we don't get any big news today, I'm going to be trying to do that for tomorrow. Last but not least, Kyle, I know you are covering UWGB basketball. And so one of the stories that has come up even nationally a couple times has been the Doug Gottlieb situation in Green Bay. Let's just say it has not gone great so far for Doug Gottlieb and UWGB. What's kind of the buzz coming out of the organization? I think they're still at two wins. Is that correct? Or did they win a third?
They haven't won since mid-November.
Seems bad.
There's a lot of layers to the situation. Everybody at Green Bay is all in on Doug. This isn't a one-year plan, never was. They signed a five-year deal with them. They're going to see it out for the most part, I feel like. For Doug, I mean, he's had things stacked against him, no doubt. He was one of the latest coaching hires in NCAA. He didn't have a full recruiting class. Now, he got talent in here for sure, but the talent has been on the sidelines, and that's what was the NCAA's leading scorer in Division I men's basketball. He hasn't been on the court for a month and a half. When you take out 27 points in an offense that is relatively successful by three-pointers, it hasn't fared well, and this is a young team that he's run out. So he'll get another offseason. He'll get a few, maybe. Everybody at Green Bay is committed. Let's see what he does when he brings in his full recruiting roster, you know. But it hasn't been good. A lot of jokes have been made. But like I said, everybody at Green Bay is pretty committed for, you know, the next few years for sure.
It's going to be interesting. It's fun keeping an eye on it. I hope he turns it around. I appreciated the hire simply because it was something different. And I think if you're UWGB, you just have to try stuff. Throw stuff at a wall, see what sticks, because you're UWGB. That's kind of what you have to do. And I'm interested to see if he can get that organization turned around and headed in the right direction. Kyle, you're the absolute best. What do you got cooking up at WFRV this week? And anything you want to plug on the way out?
Yeah, you can watch me at 6 and 10 o'clock on our newscast late at night. And then obviously, you can follow me on Twitter at Kyle Malzahn, and, love to chat some Packers with y'all.
Yeah, it's always great chatting with you, Kyle, and catching up. I'm sure we'll be in touch soon. Enjoy the Packers offseason here and some UWGB basketball, and we'll talk to you very, very soon. Sound good?
All right, Andy. Take care. Thanks.
See you soon. When we come back, we're going to be going to those phone lines, so get those phone calls into the Nicolet Law Fan Talk and Text Line, 414-677-1250. Again, we're talking the return of Rich Bisaccia. How are you guys feeling about that? It's the Packaday Radio Show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.